Ladies and gentlemen, this is America's Healthcare Advocate, broadcasting coast to coast across the USA.
But Carrie, it's a pleasure to be with you, and I do have to say, you are the most knowledgeable about health policy, just superlative.
And now, America's Healthcare Advocate, Carrie Hall.
Hello, America. Welcome to America's Healthcare Advocate Show, broadcasting coast to coast across the USA here on the HI Radio Network. Behind the cameras, my producer, Mr. Dave Thiessen. Behind the microphones, Garner Cowdery. We are here in the beautiful Cumulus Studios in Overland Park, Kansas, bringing you this show today. I'm your host, Carrie Hall. This is your show, America. So thank you for joining us and making us one of the most listened to talk shows across the United States. I want to say hello again, a little shout out to KMET 98.1 FM and 1498. In beautiful Redlands, California. They've been on board with us for a long time. So hello to all the listeners in the audience up there and the good folks at KMET in Redlands, California. If you are chronologically challenged and you're looking for Medicare insurance of any kind, you can reach out to the lovely Carol Lee Steele at 877-385-2224. Anywhere in the country, she can help you and is happy to do so. And by the way, if you're one of those gig economy workers, you're an Uber driver, maybe you're a contract anesthesiologist or a realtor, well, you know, there is a product now called Gig Care, and you can also reach out to the good folks at RPS Benefits by Design, 877-385-2224. Maria Allers would be happy to help you with that and any other employer-sponsored healthcare programs you might be interested in. She has some unique solutions for you. Back in studio again, all the way from Ohio, Dr. Firuz Tanishkari, welcome back.
Thank you.
How many of these have we done? Is this like our fifth or sixth one? I think it must be. Dave, maybe. How many have we done? We've done five. He's signaling me we've done five. At 4:45 this morning, I was working on the show notes for this show, and I have to tell you, when I get notes from my guests that are coming on, usually I get maybe a page or two pages. Well, that's not what you get when Dr. Firuz comes on one of these shows. So what I have here basically are four pages, okay, of information that we're going to try to get through most of today. But this is very different today. The theme of this show is basically prosperity and longevity. And I'm going to read you a little piece from what Dr. Firuz wrote at the beginning for the beginning of this show. Today, we're going to explore the parallels between two core human pursuits, prosperity and longevity. These have long been the goals of individual societies and political systems. Since the dawn of humanity, we have sought systems that offer comfort and freedom to pursue our desires. We now define that broadly as prosperity. You know, this really grabbed me this morning when I read this. I was like, wow, we've talked about a lot of things, but this was really interesting to me and the way you connect all this. So let's just go through, you know, you go on to talk about the comparison between socialism, communism, and free market capitalism. You know, just take it and go with this. I just want to hear what your thoughts are regarding this, because it's fascinating to me that you picked this as a topic today.
Sure. You know, the reason I picked up this topic is because we are, I think with the previous election, frankly, and I will declare again, I'm apolitical. But with the previous election, a new wave of hope and worries has kind of penetrated our beautiful country. The hopes that we are going to basically look at some of the stuff we have done. We are going to fix them. You know, as you know, again, the Dodge, you know, Department of Government Efficiency is there, is doing some stuff that a lot of people admire. They say this is the way it has to be. Some people are scared. What are they doing? Some of the jobs are lost and so forth. So I thought it is the time for us to kind of step back and basically ask some fundamental big questions. And those are, why American society, we have 5% of the world population, why we have been able to generate more than 50% of the world's wealth over the past century or so? Why we consistently, again, 5% of the world population generates a good one-third of the world GDP? And what is the engine? What is it? You know, are we different kind of human beings? Or, and the answer is no. The systems, I think, is that they say, there's a famous book called The Atomic Habits. And if I borrow a sentence from them, they say, don't focus on your goals, focus on your systems. Because everyone has a goal. Both the winners and losers have the same goal. They want to, you know, win something. It is the difference in the systems that basically determines who wins and who loses. And I thought the very very prominent example that most Americans agree are about 100, about 50 years ago, two kind of theories started leading us. One was, and the question was prosperity. After the Industrial Revolution, which system can generate more prosperity? And everyone knows what prosperity means. It means have enough resources that you could basically do as human, do what you want to do. And the one was started with Karl Marx, socialism, communism, and one was probably led by, Adam Smith, the wealth of the nations, the sources of the capitalism. And the this kind of competition came to when your favorite president, or our favorite president, stood in Berlin and didn't tell Mr. Gorbachev, the leader of the other camp, I'm going to sanction you, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to invade you. All he said was, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Let the freedom prevail.
I got to stop him there. One of the first things he said when he walked in, I have that plaque with a piece of that wall office, along with the picture of Ronald Reagan, because he was my favorite president. And those words are infamous, that he said, tear down that wall. So this resonated with me right out of the box.
Right, I knew it. That's why. So what he said, he basically proposed that if you let people be free, prosperity would follow. And that is really the foundation of those differences. And the next pursuit, so that is very familiar to everyone and so forth. Now, again, on the political part, we basically, the new administration says, we have some problems. Our debt is surpassing our GDP. If we continue this, we're going to be bankrupt. We need to regather our resources and spend our resources where our interests are. And again, I don't want to get to the details of the policies, but I want to put a big perspective on this, that when basically you see something is wrong with the system, the time is there to pause and say, we need to fix this.
Right? So you see, and you're 100% correct, which begs the question, why is there so damn much pushback on even looking at the system? I'm not even talking about what they're doing. Let's just talk about the fact that you're actually looking at the system with these massive inefficiencies. 3 million people getting Social Security checks that are over 105 years old. We don't have 3 million people 105 years old, Doctor.
Let me stop you there, because, again, I know you're more political than I am. You're picking that up as an example. I support the entire concept that we can't have a healthier society if we continue to build debt. We can't do change. We have to change things. We can't do the same thing and get different results.
Our debt is larger than the defense. Right. Interest on our debt is larger than the Defense Department.
So
budget.
I want to put that concept and bring it back now to healthcare.
Right.
As I have shared with you, 92% of Americans, they think that our healthcare system is sick, is broken. Something needs to change. And so the topic for today was initiated from there, is at the, again, what is it basically is broken, and what is it that needs to be fixed, and how we want to focus basically on that element. So that's why I think, every human's pursuit is prosperity and longevity. We want to live well and we want to live long. And where are the commonalities, the parallels between those two trends?
And that's what we're going to explore today. And it's fascinating. So now the question becomes, how does our healthcare system, how does the deliverable of healthcare in this country affect all the things that you just heard doctor describe? That's what we're going to talk about today. Then we're going to talk about what's wrong. Then we're going to talk about how to fix it. That's the part that you're going to find most fascinating, I think. Stay tuned. You're listening to America's Healthcare Advocate, broadcasting here on the HIE Radio Network, coast to coast across the USA. The doctor's in the house. Don't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. Welcome back. You're listening to America's Healthcare Advocate Show, broadcasting coast to coast across the USA. In studio with me, Dr. Firuz Taneshkari. You know, I'm going to give you a little background on Dr. We've talked about this before, but I want to just tell you a little bit about him. He was an assistant professor of surgery at the University of Colorado, founding director of fellowship program in female pelvic medicine and reconstructive surgery at the Cleveland Clinic and Urological Institute, professor and chairman of Upstate Medical University, SUNY, professor and chairman at Case Western University Study, and founding director of the Urological Institute. You know, we're very fortunate to have this man come in here, travel here to do these radio shows, so I hope you're going to enjoy listening to him and learn from what he's telling us, because you're getting a remarkable piece of information and education here you typically aren't going to get in most broadcasts. All right, Doctor, let's keep rolling.
Yeah. Okay. So now comparing to the health system, again, about 120, 30, 40 years ago, two school of thought started. One was the government should pay for the health care of people, the citizens.
Like we see in the UK, Canada.
That gave birth to a single-payer system and in Canada and Europe. And in the U.S., we couldn't agree on the single-payer system, so we chunked the carved a piece of the single-payer system for citizens, older citizens, and, you know, Medicare and Medicaid.
He's looking at me when he says that, by the way, 75.
So at the since 1965, the American society's healthcare basically is divided into really two segments. About two-thirds of Americans who are working, the employers are the sponsors, and one-third is the federal government. And by the... Again, going back to the discussion of DOGE, the federal government created what is called the fourth arm of government, the Center for Medicare, who not only is the payer for that one-third of Americans, but because its sheer weight and the size of it, it has become the regulator of the healthcare.
Yes,
and that has brought the concept of, oh, maybe we should do Medicare for all, or basically revert back into a single-payer system. And the thinking of that process kind of came to surface during the Obamacare. And again, I'm apolitical. I'm not going to attack the Obamacare from a political standpoint. But the concept was born that if we expand the insurance coverage to everyone, and basically we government subsidizes for people who can afford it, we're going to basically improve the care and lower the cost.
So how does that work?
That is a good question, my friend Kerry. Now I'm going, we have about 14 years after March of 2010 when Obamacare was approved, and in June of 2012, the Supreme Court basically approved the mandate. So I'm going to share with you some facts, okay? So the cost of healthcare for, as you know, Obamacare was called Affordable Care Act. So the cost of healthcare for a family of four in 2010 was under $18,000. The cost of care for a family of four today is over $32,000.
Did you hear that? $32,000 for a family of four. Think about that,
all right.
Okay?
So with the subsidies, we as a nation, we are spending over $50 billion, I think it's about $56 billion, to basically pay subsidies through the exchanges for people to have the insurance. So going back to the prosperity, we bring basically health insurance to people. We want to get the health outcomes. The ratio of the chronic conditions that existed in 2010 was less than 40% of Americans. Now is over 60% of Americans have two or three chronic conditions. So going back to the basically past 60, 70 years, we have another systematic basically change with it. As you know, I'm a product of the healthcare training in this country. I think we have the best doctors in the in this country. We have the best technologies, you know, from the transplantation, the stem cell, you know, splicing the DNA and the rest of it. But in my humble opinion, the number one, the most significant improvement we made during the past century was we eliminated the infectious diseases as the number one cause of death. And that was, we basically created a system by which we did a risk mitigation, risk prevention. We wash our hands, the food are refrigerated, we do the vaccination and the rest of it. We eliminated the top killer of the past century. Now coming back, we went with that mentality of the single-payer system toward the Affordable Care Act, which by no data has made it more affordable. To the contrary, has made it unaffordable. We have increased basically the prevalence of the chronic conditions, right? So today, as you and I are sitting here, last year we spent $4.8 trillion on healthcare. And every single day, 180,000 new cases of chronic conditions were diagnosed in this country. So we are spending $4.8 trillion and we keep generating chronic conditions. So you're with me on this?
Oh, 100%. And awesome. Maybe at some point, DOGE will take a look at this.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely they have to do that. So the point I'm trying to make is now is the time for us to step back and say, what is wrong with this picture? We keep pouring more and more and more money into the system. We're getting the worst, basically, worst results. What should we do?
Well, okay, but so, and here's the thing. This is the, you know, you want to call it the dirty little secret. It's not a secret. There are two groups of people that are benefiting from this enormously: insurance carriers and hospitals.
That's right.
I mean, okay, so, you know, that when you think about it, okay, and the hospitals have enormous benefits from this, and we'll talk about that. Look, well, we've got about 3 minutes left. Go ahead.
Yeah. So first thing first, what I want to say is now we are facing the chronic conditions as public chronic conditions as public enemy number one. If anyone disagrees with me, please speak up. Chronic conditions are public enemy number one. We are spending over 75 to 80% of that $4.5 trillion on basically handling these chronic conditions.
Not before that they occur, after the fact.
After the fact. And that comes back to the role of the hospitals. Why the system is basically we're pouring more money, we're getting worse results? Because the healthcare is delivered through 5,000 hospitals that have become financial institutions, and they benefit from delivering sick care services, meaning they benefit from doing bariatric surgery rather than preventing obesity. They're benefiting from doing after the fact, and I'll give you a quick rundown. When Obamacare was being discussed, I know this for a fact, is documented, President Obama basically made the deal with the five industry groups, hospital, insurance companies, pharmas, and, you know, device manufacturing. He said, we are bringing 40 million people more to the market, and therefore it's going to increase your revenue, and I want a piece of this revenue back. So they made a deal. In 2010, the two major hospitals in Northeast Ohio that I work, their revenue was, one of them was $6 billion. Last year, that hospital finished with $15 billion revenue. The other one was $2 billion, now is getting close to $6 billion. So in a nutshell, we are running out of time here, is if you look at the revenue of the hospitals over the past 14 years, the revenue of the have at least increased by 300%. And the revenue of the nonprofit hospital has doubled more than the for-profit hospital.
Of course it has, because they don't pay the same taxes as the for-profit hospitals do. Here's the thing, okay? Chronic obesity in this country, on a rampage. Type 2 diabetes, on a rampage. Type 1 diabetes, an epidemic proportion. Those are all facts. So what we're presenting are the facts on where we're at. We come back from the break, Dr. Farooz is going to start talking about how do you turn this aircraft carrier around? How do we turn it around and change the way we deliver healthcare in this country? We'll be right back after the break. You're listening to America's Healthcare Advocate, broadcasting here on the HIA Radio Network, coast to coast across the USA. Stay right there. Welcome back to America's Healthcare Advocate Show, broadcasting coast to coast across the USA here on the HI Radio Network. If you want to learn more about what Dr. Farooz is talking about, his company, Bowtie Medical, the website is bowtiemedical.com, bowtiemedical.com. There's a lot of information up there. We've actually partnered with Bowtie Medical at Datego Health, which is a TPA that I'm a founder of. And so if you want more information, go up to the website, bowtiemedical.com. Medical.com. That's bowtiemedical.com. All right, so we're going to shift gears now, and we're going to talk about the need for systemic reform. But I do want to go back a little bit on this ACA thing, because you talked about this. You know, the fact that you've seen 60% of U.S. hospitals grow twice as much the nonprofit as the for-profit hospitals, and this continues to grow in these astronomical numbers. I mean, you think about it. We're sitting here in Overland Park. We've got new hospitals that have been built in the last, 10 years, 5 years, that are huge, okay? And you know, our population hasn't grown that much. We're in Kansas. We don't have, it's not Florida. We don't have people pouring in here. You know, we're in a very prosperous part of the country. We're the fourth richest county in the country, and Overland Park's the third most desirable city to live in. But having said that, this revenue thing is astronomical, so back to our topic, where is the incentive to reform anything? Why would they want to reform, Doctor?
Well, they wouldn't. It's very much like, again, that's why I compare the prosperity with longevity. If you go ask to all the, you know, they were getting a few million dollars for unrelated issues to our issues, you know, the whole USAID, you know, the whole political discussions is there and so forth. Where do we as Americans want to spend our money, right? Because as long as people who are receiving the money, they're not going to say no. The hospitals are not going to say no, don't pay me, right? But if you look at the numbers, as you say, in every market, they keep building hospitals, you know, building and building. And the question to me, again, I know the Northeast Ohio. My question is, the hospital who went from a $6 billion revenue to $15 billion, you know,
insane.
So the question is, did the health of people of Northeast Ohio improve by that, you know, 200%?
What are the results on where that money was spent?
Right. Where's the result? So we are not getting results because the system has become addicted to a secure system. That is at the foundation of it.
Or you could say it's become addicted to money.
Addicted to money, right? Because it's delivering the secure system. So going back to the concept of, okay, if we go and basically do a Medicare for all, or if you go toward a thought of someone has to control this from above, there's no end at the end of this. As you see in every market, they keep building more buildings and more buildings, and the cost of the healthcare is going up. So there are two elements to this, basically, reform. First of all, is very much like we did with public health in the previous century, we need to turn our attention from delivering sick care services to healthcare services. Because the four or five top chronic conditions that basically are draining our resources, and going back to our partnership with Botai and Datego, I was looking at the numbers yesterday, people who have basically chronic conditions such as obesity and diabetes.
Huge.
Musculoskeletal, pain, cancer, substance abuse. These are the ones who are basically on the top of the spending. Basically, they're getting other people's resources and they're spending.
20% of the people drive 80% of the claims. 100%.
Right.
Yes,
right.
Indeed.
Right. So what we need to do as a system level, number one, they say follow the money. Right, because even if that $50 billion that is spent by the federal government on behalf of individuals who can't afford it on the subsidies, those monies are going and paying for those buildings and going to the coffins of the insurance companies.
Yeah.
So the first systematic reform is very much like the President Reagan said, let the freedom prevail. Give the control of the money to the individuals. We can do that through the FSAs. We can do that through the health saving accounts. And through that, people can go and pay directly to the doctors.
So you're talking about HSAs.
Correct.
Yeah.
So it's called the direct primary care. So people should be able to basically pay their doctors directly, rather than the insurance company says who you can pay or who cannot pay, how much you can pay, and so forth. Not only the primary care, the next level is to pay directly for a specialty care. So you and I need a knee surgery, we need eye surgery, and so forth. We can go to an outpatient. This could apply to over 80% of the specialty care.
Right.
You can go and say, what is your quality? What is, you know, your customer service? And how much is your prices? And I can pay this right up front if I choose you. is I'm not coming to you because someone else tells me I have to go to you because they have made the secret behind the scene how much we're going to pay. So the very first part of the reform is really what I call is a free market. Make the information about the pricing transparent to the consumer and allow the empower the consumer to control the fate of the money that is coming out of their paycheck or out of our tax dollars. That is the first.
So it's consumer-driven healthcare.
100%. Consumer-driven healthcare. In order for consumer to drive the choices of healthcare, they need access to basically accurate information, both in terms of the quality, and they need access to the ability to pay and control the money.
But somebody has to assist them in this. This system is confusing as hell to people. I've been in this business for, in the healthcare system business for 30 years now. And, my wife just had knee surgery, and we went through two separate facilities before we found somebody could do the surgery. Now, it's insurance covered all the rest of it. We found a great doctor, a great surgical center. They did a wonderful job. It couldn't have been better. But I know how to navigate the system.
That's right.
90% of the people out here don't know beans from apple butter 100%. About this. So how do they do
Gary,
this?
Gary, I would have hugged you if we weren't on the camera here. Because you're pointing out to the really why I basically founded the Bowtie Medical. Because the healthcare is not only complex, not only is confusing, it deals with our vulnerability. I'm sure when you were going through the selection of surgery for your wife, surgery after surgery, you're very emotionally engaged, you're stressed. That's not the time. If someone is like... the valets. When you're late for your date, you'll pay anything to the valet to park your car. During the stress emotions, stressful emotional time, you're not there to choose and, to bargain for better price and so forth, right?
No.
That's why the concept of the guardianship was born. You need a healthcare professional who you have a communication with, you have a history with. It's like the good old family doctor. Remember?
He's your good old family doctor.
Yeah. For example, in your case, if your family doctor or his representative would come with you during the time.
Yes.
And he's the one who's emotionally not as involved as you are, but he knows the information, what should be done and what shouldn't be done and so forth. That is the whole concept of the guardianship that was born, that we, in dealing with the healthcare, we need like a sherpa. We need a guardian who scientifically, professionally, they know the medical, the clinical issues. But also, they basically can assist you. And the concept of the agency, in finances, they call the financial agents. They say, I won't make money unless I make money for you. That is how the system has to work. The providers, primary care providers, the guardians are your agent. They're not being paid by the hospital, so tell you, go to this place or go to that place. They're your agent.
And that's the way it works now, just so we're clear on this, okay? The reason why you don't see primary care practice anymore, and who refers you to the orthopedic surgeon, who refers you to the heart doctor, or if you've got arthritis, the rheumatoid doctor, whatever the case may be, it's the primary care doc. Well, if the hospital owns the primary care system, who do you think they're going to refer you to? Are they going to refer you to a doctor that's outside of their system? That's highly unlikely, okay? And so what we're talking about here is an independent source that can help you navigate this and do it the right way. So you set up the primary care, and then you have a guardian, a doctor, an actual doctor, who is your guardian, who's going to help you navigate that system. Where's the best place I can go for this surgery? Who has the best outcomes? Who has the lowest infection rates? That's what comes out of this program that's in place with Bowtie Medical, and that's why we're doing it. So if you're an employer out there, or you're a company out there looking for a better way to do this, you probably ought to take a look at this. And the website is bowtiemedical.com. It's bowtiemedical.com. All of Dr. Feruz's information is up there. They've got a great staff. We've engaged with them. They're working directly with us in our customer service department. They're working directly with us to help our clients at Datego on the gig care plan and other plans that we produce and run to guide them to better systems at a lower cost with better outcomes. That's how they do it at Bowtie Medical. The website, once again, bowtiemedical.com. We'll be right back from the break. After the break, you're listening to America's Healthcare Advocate, broadcasting here on the HIE Radio Network. Stay tuned. The doctor's still in the house. Welcome back. You're listening to America's Healthcare Advocate Show, broadcasting coast to coast across the USA. We're on 16 podcast platforms. We're on our own YouTube channel and on 239 affiliates across the country. If you're listening to us on terrestrial radio, we're very happy you are, and thank you very much for listening to the show. But if you want to tell somebody about Bowtie, maybe you're an employer and you got 150, 200 employees, and you know you're beating your brains out trying to figure out how you're going to lower your insurance costs. You're not going to do it on the Buka plans. Blue Cross United, you know, Aetna, that Coventry, that's not going to work, okay? If you're going to do it, you're going to have to step out of that model and go to something different. That's what you can do at Bowtie Medical. So the website, once again, is bowtiemedical.com. By the way, if you're a broker, you really ought to take a look at this, because this is a very, very different way to access health care and save an enormous amount of money at the same time without lowering the quality. You're actually going to improve the quality of healthcare people are going to get. The website is bowtiemedical.com, and you'll find doctor up there. All right, so let's kind of bring this all together now.
Sure. So we have established few points in the previous segments. One is we are spending too much and we are getting bad results. Number one, the Affordable Care Act did not make it affordable.
It made it unaffordable.
And we have a public enemy that is growing we cannot control it. And that is called the chronic conditions: diabetes, obesity, cardiovascular, musculoskeletal, those conditions. There is our 75% to 80% of our spending is those. So going back to basically the concept of how we can tackle this, a step back, is the changing the direction from basically pouring money into the hospitals and insurance companies, reversing the money toward the health healthcare. And that's why I wear the bow tie, as you know, as
you always bow tie. Do.
The fact remains that regardless of your genetic background, whether you were born in China or Japan or in Iowa or, you know, wherever you were born, you come to U.S. and you live 40 to 50 years in the U.S. By the age of 40 and 50, you have more than 50% risk of having two or three chronic conditions. So the knot of the bow tie is basically the risk, the health risk that we all are at for developing chronic conditions. Over the past 100 years, to discover what these chronic these diseases are, cardiovascular, cancer, diabetes, we created hospitals to basically do tests and procedures and so forth, try to stop this. And this is not working, right?
No.
We established this is not working. Scientifically, we know now more about the risk factors for these conditions than we know how to cure them. I would claim actually we do not know how to cure them. We just turn them into chronic conditions. As soon as I have plugged artery in my heart, I become a source of annuity for my local hospitals, because every few months they have to check me out, they put on a stent. The only way we are going to tackle these chronic conditions, very much like we did with the infectious diseases of the past century. So to me, I would say this is like a public health revival. We are going to start looking at the risk factors that people have from the beginning, you know, from their young age, their lifestyle, their eating habits, and so forth. And it starts really creating what I call the leading indicators. Means by the time that you have a symptom that, you know, this morning I get up, I have a chest pain, that is too late. By the time I have gained another 50 pounds, that is too late. So we are going to put together risk mitigation policies, health risk mitigations, very much like we did again with infectious diseases, very much like we do in the airline. Airline is my favorite industry. They would not let an airline to take off unless all the checklists have been checked out.
On the plane.
Right, on the plane, on everything, on the weight, on the path, you know, and so forth. And on the airline industry, and as you know, I fly with my brother.
Who has three airplanes, by the way.
We go through this, you know, we go from one pocket of the air risk, basically air travel risk, to the next one, to the next one. So the concept is, I propose, under the Bowtie Health Guardianship, the doctors become the air tower controllers. They have information about your health risk when you become a member. We know, check out your health score, what are your risks, whether it's a background family risk or your lifestyle or whatever it is. And out of that, we say you're at risk for these conditions. And what are the mitigation policies we can put in to check your blood sugar and the rest of it to basically predict that if you're going to develop a chronic condition and intervene before the chronic conditions has settled. So this will change the direction of the primary care from just waiting for you to basically get sick to mitigating your health risk, you would never develop chronic conditions. Scientifically, biologically, we have the ability to do that. The ability of people to go and basically pay directly to the doctors is going to facilitate that because it won't go to the pocket of the hospitals. And the result of that, I would claim, and I propose to the new administration, who is very much aligned with this, because President Trump, when he was appointing Bobby Kennedy Jr. and Mr. Oz, he said, your job is to tackle the chronic conditions. In order to tackle the chronic condition, we need to shift the money from going to the hospitals and to the insurance companies to the risk mitigation efforts.
And to the people you're servicing.
Yeah.
So we've got a system that you're using. You told me about it on the break. It's called APTA, A-P-T-A. This may sound confusing to a lot of people. We've only got about a minute left. How are you using that with the Tegel for our clients? How is it working?
So the way we use this is, again, you are a member of the guardianship. You have access to doctors and your team 24/7. 24/7, anytime, at your home, at your work, and so forth. Then you have a need to go and to see a specialist, to go and see an orthopedic surgeon, you know, for arthroscopy. Now, what we do with this guardianship, we have partnered with a group called APTA. We say, Carrie or Carrie's wife, these are the three orthopedic choices you have in your zip code, and these are the quality rankings. And when you choose, after your interaction, and we are there with you to interact with them, when you go to do your procedure, you simply pay for their services upfront. No more billing, no more receiving that lengthy paper in the mail, this is your not bill, this is the pay, and so forth. Settle everything right up front. What it would do, it would give you basic transparency of the how much you're paying, right? And you're paying it with your own hands. It's the control of the consumer.
So you're asking yourself, how are you going to pay for a $15,000, $20,000 surgery if you're living paycheck to paycheck? That's what an HSA, health savings account. If you're not spending the money on premiums and you're putting it away and saving that money so you can use it for these kinds of situations, that's how you pull all this together and make it work. If you want to learn more, the website is bowtiemedical.com. bowtiemedical.com. It's all up there. It's a great system. If you're a broker, employer, take a look. Thank you again. It's always great to have you in studio.
Thank you, Ken.
Now I leave you with this thought from Dr. Martin Luther King. If we are going to learn to live together as brothers and sisters, or we are surely going to perish together as fools if we don't learn to live together as brothers and sisters. Thank you for listening to America's Healthcare Advocate. Goodbye, America.